Oh, hello, Stormy. We're back. We're back in the studio.
After so long, it feels.
It's been so long, I almost forgot what it was called.
Yeah. I was saying, like, we came in and I was like, it feels like it's been forever.
Yeah. Not just the 2 weeks we've had off.
Yeah. No, it's been really rough, trying to get us here, I guess, the last few weeks, because we've had people come down sick and just not be able to make the show. And honestly, there's nothing that beats being in the studio and doing a podcast.
It really doesn't. In the presence of beautiful people.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Likewise. I was going to say, it's like, you know, doing it from home is fantastic. The convenience of, you know, no one will know I've got my pajama pants on underneath and stuff like that. But nothing beats being in the studio and actually doing shows.
It's the only downside of coming to the studio is I have to put pants on.
Yeah. I have to actually wear proper clothes that's, like, appropriate. Yeah.
Sticks coming in massive, 56 months. Thank you so – 56 or 55? No, 55. It's my eyes. I blame my eyes. We were just talking before the show about how I needed glasses. But Sticks, thank you so much for that. Incredible. One of the OGs still hanging about.
Thank you so much. And hello, Gamma, as well. We see you in the chat.
We see you, chat.
Yeah, we see you. How was your week? I haven't seen you. I feel like I haven't properly chatted to you in the last couple of weeks. How are you?
Well, last week was a bit rough. Had a viral infection. You'd think being at home sick, you'd be able to get gaming done. No, I spent most of my time in bed.
Yeah.
But I did sort of rediscover a game that I haven't played for a while. And I think let's just jump straight into the bloody good games of the week,
I
reckon.
Because
for me, I went back to an old favourite. That wasn't the video that I wanted. Hang on. Bear with me, people.
Almost there.
Ooh. But so for me, my bloody good game of the week is the Halo Infinite multiplayer. Just because, I like playing first-person shooters, but I don't like playing a lot of multiplayer first-person shooters. But it's just something about Halo that grabs me. I just know how it works. I know how things... because if I go into a game of COD or something like that, I don't know enough about the different weapons. And in Halo, the only thing I really need to know is it a plasma weapon or is it a projectile weapon? Because the plasma weapons will strip the shields off and the normal projectile weapons, they'll just kill you when the shields are down. So
that nice sense of familiarity as well. I'm pretty new. I guess Infinite's the one where I did spend probably the most time playing multiplayer because I know I've mentioned before I started gaming really late. But when I have gone back to Infinite, it's just been nice and it's genuinely really, really fun.
Yeah, and I like the modes. I like the smaller maps. If you're watching live at twitch.tv/GameOnOz, you'll see there's a it looks like a Slayer match. So just like team deathmatch sort of thing happening on the Bazaar map. And I really like Bazaar as a map because it's just, there's some tight corners. You know where people are generally going to be and it's just... Yeah, it's just fun.
Yeah, I love the height variation as well in this particular map. I know I've quite, always enjoyed playing on this one too.
Yeah. And it's just, I don't know, it's just familiar. It's just something nice and comforting knowing that I can come back to this. And it's in the middle of its second season, so there's, some good rewards that you get. They've introduced some new game modes. The Last Spartan Standing one I quite like, so... Yeah, it's like a free for all, but instead of getting to a certain number of kills and then that's it, you get lives and there's experience you get. So if you get kills and assists, you get experience, and then you get better weapons. So to start with, you just have the Mangler, which is like a very basic projectile weapon, and as you go through, you get better and better weapons, and it's just fun, damn it! And I'm reasonably good at it. I can actually have an impact and get kills and win games in this. So I'm I just can't go past Halo Infinite multiplayer for my bloody good game of the week.
I think it's a really good pick, especially like you said, when you're at home and you're feeling sick, you're feeling really run down, and you don't want to start anything new, or going back to something like this, I can imagine was just. Yeah. Nice and cozy. Yeah. Well, I say cozy. We're watching chaos right now.
Frantic and cozy, and there was some swearing going on as well, I don't mind saying. So, but we say relaxing in inverted commas here for this sort of a game. But one of the things I do like about it, because I've come to like the multiplayer games a bit more. Like League of Legends, I started getting into, but like the games on that are long, and you have to queue for ages to get a game as well. And it's just, you know, Halo Infinite has some queue times, but then the game's short, sharp, and they're just it's good. It's just what I want. And it's kind of like Fall Guys, because Fall Guys has that variation in what you play, and in like the, they're just short and it's just my comfort. It's like my comfort zone. Yeah. That's it. It's bite sized.
That's the thing. Like, as much as I love my games of League, they can take a really bloody long time.
Oh, yeah.
But at least, like, I mean, there's what I'm about to say is definitely, not my bloody good game of the week, but I did download Battlefield 2042 because I kind of forgot that I did have it, and I actually installed it for the first time since the launch. And like that, it was the same kind of thing. I mean, nowhere as near as fun as Halo, I will admit, but you know, having those bite-sized matches where they, you know roughly how long it's going to take and stuff too.
That's it. Yeah, they're not super big. I mean, they've got the big mode map stuff that you can do, but yeah, I'm not a huge fan of them. And I didn't, what's it called? There's a mode that has been introduced since the last time I was playing it. I want to call it like Rumble or something, and there's like a whole heap of different sort of game modes, but they're all free for all pretty much. And I was playing one where everybody had energy swords and the grapple hook. So like everybody was grappling everywhere and trying to slash people. It was just fun.
That sounds really fun.
It was like the madness of a custom game, but not actually a custom game. It was really cool.
Yeah.
So and I know because Doom Cutie on GameOnOz.com did a review about the upcoming co-op for the I'll get the word soon.
Campaign?
The campaign, the campaign for Halo Infinite. So I'll be very happy to see when that comes out, because I reckon playing through that with a friend. It has been a while. Like it's. Of what, 8 months since Infinite got released, so it has been a while. And like the Forge mode as well, when that comes up, that'll add a whole new breath to this. But there are still little bits and pieces, like if I'm playing late at night here, there's not many people playing, I get matched with like Eastern US people, and then like my ping goes up to 250, and it's just like next to impossible to play. But it's still fun. I still like it, and that's my bloody good game of the week.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say as well, hello, Doormat. Welcome to the stream. Nice to see you. 2042.
God damn it. YouTube.
Gamma says you can get the office Clippy. Clippy?
Yeah.
As a charm in the Halo.
Oh, I didn't know that. The Halo like, game. I've still got my, because they had like a samurai event in season one, so I'm like decked out in my samurai gear, and that's how people know that I haven't played for a while, because I'm still wearing that gear.
It's so like last year. Like
it's so last season. Darling, also, get with the times.
Drop Bear, thank you for the Prime sub as well. Good evening. Welcome to the stream as well.
Legend, Drop Bear, thank you so much for that. And yeah, hello to everybody that's joining us. Gamma, I know you've gone through a few already.
Big Gamma, Sticks, Doormat, Drop Bear. Anyone lurking? Hello. Yes. Hope you're having a good time.
We like our lurkers.
Well, I guess I'll get into my game of the week. I actually had I was telling you earlier, I was actually having a really hard time picking, because I feel like I've tried quite a few different games since last week or the week before. But I've settled on In Sound Mind. I got this one really cheap from EB during a mid-year sale. It was like less than $10. And I had seen the smallest of clips of this game on TikTok and stuff, and I was like, look, for less than $10, bargain, I'm gonna pick it up and play it on stream sometime. And I did on Monday night, and it's really interesting. It's really good. So the game is developed by We Create Games and published by Modus. So Modus have published quite a few different games, like Scully's the first one that comes to mind. There's also Ari as well, if anyone knows of Ari, Rustler. In Sound Mind is really interesting. It's pretty self-explanatory. You are playing someone who is losing their mind. I've played about a quarter of the way of the game so far. There's definitely, I believe from what I've learned, because I've tried to avoid spoilers, he's like a therapist. And he's losing his mind for whatever reason, and there's something really weird going on in the town as well. It gives me like it's really interesting. The game, I can kind of sense some influences, like something a little bit Alan Wakey about it. But at the same time, in terms of combat, it does give me like a bit of RE7 vibes almost as well. So you have a gun with obviously limited ammo because it's a survival horror basically. First person, and as well as that, you also have a torch. Which runs on limited batteries, so you got to hope you find other batteries to make sure it doesn't run out. I don't know what happens if it runs out. I'm a bit scared too.
I kind of want to find out what happens if it runs out.
Yeah, I know.
Part of me,
like the first part of the game, I actually couldn't figure out how to turn it off. So I was like, oh my God, I'm going to get into a bit of trouble. But it's right trigger for anyone playing on your Xbox at home. It's really interesting. The first kind of area I'm in at the moment, I won't give any spoilers away because the story is really intriguing. But you basically play a tape from one of your patients, and this first one, her name's Virginia, and you kind of go to the site of where something has happened to do with her. And you're in this, it's basically like a big kind of supermarket. It's not quite a supermarket. It's kind of like if a Coles met a Kmart. It's got like a whole bunch of different things in there. And there's this kind of ghost lady kind of wandering around, and you can't look her in the eyes. You have to have a mirror and find her in a reflection. Very scary.
What happens if you look her in the eyes?
Well, you lose a bit of health. She screams and she like jolts herself at you. It is pretty scary. Mm. As well as that, we talked about, and if you've seen the first episode of, what do you call it? The new Doctor Who, is that kind of how you describe it?
New Who. Christopher Eccleston,
yes.
9.
So there were, there's like mannequins around the shop, and sometimes when you turn your back, they move. And they, like, it's funny because this game has a really interesting sense of humor. And this is like maybe a minor spoiler gameplay wise. But if you basically, I was getting panicky because I'm like, oh my God, they're moving when I'm not looking. What are they doing? I'm so scared because there's multiple kind of around everywhere. And you kind of find out that they're helping you.
Oh.
So there's a really great clip, and this is what I had seen on TikTok, so it was kind of spoiled for me, where you're in a locker room and you can't open this locker to get something because it's locked.
As lockers are wont to do sometimes, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, you're looking at the locker, you turn around, and a mannequin's, like, comes out of nowhere. It's just standing there with the key in its hand, and you're like, oh.
Thank you.
And then you take it, you open the locker, so you've got your back towards it again. And when you turn around, he's sitting on the locker room bench, and he's just got his thumb up in the air like this. And you're like, thanks, mate. Like, thank you.
Can you go up and give him a fist bump and say, thanks, man?
Oh, I wish I could. I wish he could hear me. But there was other mannequins where I was like, oh, yeah, thank you, I guess. Even though, like, your half of your mannequin face is, like, kind of, like, disappeared. It's really cool. And there's also some other... And I think it's part of the overarching like storyline as well. There's a weird, I want to say it's a man, but he's very creepy. He's in a yellow suit. He's on the main artwork of the game. Ooh. And he kind of just like messes with you a little bit and will just pop out of nowhere or come around a corner or talk in your ear or call a telephone that's on the wall. I don't know what his deal is, but it seems like he knows you, like the main character. Ooh. Very interesting. But yeah, if you like your horror, like I said, I feel like there's slight influences RE7 wise in terms of mechanics. The first, like the weird ghost lady, some of that level reminds me of The Ring a little bit, but I don't want to give too much away because the story itself is really interesting. So if you're looking for a survival horror, I'd definitely hit up In Sound Mind.
It sounds terrifying. And I'm glad it's you playing it and not me.
Yeah, no, I it got to about 11 o'clock and I was like, you know what? I am going to take a break. I will be back playing this when the sun is still somewhat around and I won't have nightmares before I go to sleep. So.
See, my problem if I was going to play horror games, because like I normally sit in my office and all the lights are off. The only light I get is like from my monitors and that's how I would play horror games and I wouldn't sleep for a week.
You see, I had a really silly false sense of security because I said, I was like, well, the game's rated M. It can't be that bad. Like, I played Resident Evil 7.
Famous surely last I'll
be,
words.
Yeah, I played Resident Evil 7, arguably, like, the scariest game I've ever played. Surely this will be okay. And this admittedly got me jumping out of my seat a couple of times. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it. In Sound Mind is definitely my bloody good game of the week.
That's awesome. Great to hear it. So we got two bloody good games of the week. Thanks to Aussie Broadband there. Thank you so much for that. Check
Thanks,
them out
Aussie
if you, for all your broadband needs there. So we got some news.
Yes.
Got some news. And I'm going to play this because I'm remembering to play this this week.
Game Alliance presents news from four corners of the gaming globe.
Amazing.
I really hope Stream could hear that so because good. We couldn't hear it.
Oh, yeah. I hope so, too.
Otherwise, we're just standing there watching this grey and white screen and, you know. Yeah. Hope you enjoyed that. Yeah.
Well, I think we should start off on a really fun, positive positive news.
I think we should as well because there's been a few sort of grant stories going around from Australian state government agencies and whatnot, and WA is not being left out. Screen West has announced a $2 million boost for WA's digital games and interactive industry there. So they've provided some funding to some studios to go out and get some stuff done with their games. And not more importantly, but really excitingly, I noticed that they're sending five WA studios to Gamescom.
That's I think that's really incredible.
It's so good. Like, it's an amazing thing because we do have some really awesome devs around here. Like, there was a, it was in the Perth Town Hall a couple of years ago. I went there and there was a whole heap of games that they were showing off. And there's still one, Misk, a Tiny Tale, that I've been watching after for ages because it's just like, it's right up my area of like 3D platforming and just collectible stuff.
Yeah,
and
already it sounds just, right up your alley. You said
it's so and good. Like, and like, they've had a couple of demos out and I've really enjoyed playing them and I can't wait to see that. And I found that at this Games Fest thing that was at the Perth Town Hall. And seeing that these WA game studios are going over there is going to be amazing. Because it's not, one thing I was really impressed with as well, because it's not just people developing video games. I noticed there was someone that had developed a coding tool that was going over there as well to show off their wares. So I think, what was it? It was Spacedraft, I think, is the company. So they've got, they call it a no-coding, easy-to-use sort of tool. I'm not sure how that goes with no coding, but it just sounds awesome. I like those sorts of tools. I actually recently started dabbling in Unity myself, and it is huge. So much to do in that and so much there. And so something that makes it easier, and particularly for like kids that are interested in making their own games, if you can start them simply. Because like back when I was like, I programmed in HTML with the first web pages sort of thing. That's, I did a lot of that sort of stuff. And even programming in BASIC, which is with spaghetti code, it went everywhere. But it's
funny you're talking about coding because I've downloaded a Minecraft mod recently, and to customize it, I've kind of had to learn kind of how to code, and it's my first time kind of dabbling in it, and I'm like, oh my god, this is like, props to people who are like, you know, doing this for a living because it's so intense and it's so much work involved, and I'm not even doing most of the coding. It's like all the different formats that give me the things I need to do are already there for me. I just have to change a couple of things.
Yeah.
So I like the fact that, you know, with this, you know, you said they were sending a few studios and stuff to Gamescom. It's not just limited to the, I guess, the pure, I mean, you know, sending a, you know, Spacedraft who's developing this easy to use no coding tool, as well as the people who are developing their like own games and stuff too. You've got a bit of variety there.
That's it. And some of the other studios that were going, there's Black Labs, who some of you may know, Battlestar Galactica Deadlock. They made that game, so they're going over to Gamescom as well. The Earthlingo, which is the studio and also a game as well. It sounds like a bit of an exploration-y type game. Big Bench Games, who like party games. They make sort of party game-y, type-y, stuffy things there.
I love party games.
Yeah. Something with an E on the end. And sorry, I've written this down and now I can't write
it. Hungry Sky.
Hungry Sky, yeah, that's it. I can't read my own handwriting. That's how good at writing I am. Who develop, they say they create experiences, so stuff like augmented reality and virtual reality and things like that. So
this is really exciting news to have come out to be supporting. And like you said, it's not even just WA. Other states are helping and funding, these projects and helping support these companies and stuff too.
That's it. And like the federal government as well, there was an offset for video games companies that they did last year. I think from memory it was a bit loaded, because I think the only people that could get it were the people that already had the money to develop games. So that was a little bit meh. But the fact that they're being thought of as an industry, because gaming is a huge industry. So much money goes into it. And seeing them get some federal funding and state funding just to help out that industry as well is amazing.
I'd love to read just a little bit of that quote that's just there, by the way, just for anyone. This is on the screenwest.com.au website. So the Cultural and Arts Minister, David Templeman, says the digital games industry is large and growing rapidly. So this investment will enable WA games developers to support content development and access worldwide markets. The games and interactive technology industry can provide significant economic and cultural benefits to WA. Games and immersive technologies present a major opportunity for economic diversification of the state, as identified in the Diversified WA Economic Development Framework. So the WA presence at Gamescom 2022 will provide valuable networking opportunities and showcase WA game studios on the international stage.
I love it.
Brilliant. We love to see it. We love supporting our local, developers and studios and companies and stuff. So I'm really excited to hopefully hear more from some of the places that you've mentioned, like the studios that you mentioned.
I'm actually really keen to see that Space Draft coding tool to see what it's like. Because I'm a big fan of teaching kids, if not coding, teaching them algorithms. Because algorithms do so much, and just learning basic stuff like if-then-else statements, and while loops, and just if you can understand some basic building blocks of programming, like programming is in anything. If you want to be like, you go up on the mine sites and do what you're going to do up there, like so much of the CNC machining that you do up there needs programming. So much that we do is computer based. You write a macro in Excel or Word, and you need to have a bit of programming now. So even if, like you were saying, if you've got something there that somebody's created and you want to modify it, a little bit of knowledge of programming helps that process. And so I'm really, really glad to see that, like, not just game devs who are important to get over there, but people that are doing programming tools as well are getting some of this funding.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. There you go. Thanks, ScreenWest, for supporting all these game studios and developers and programmers.
Now, this news was a little bit shocking to me. Like, I don't know about you, Stormy. I'm setting up a punchline. All right, we're getting there.
Okay.
So, like, apparently, Netflix games aren't being played. And the shocking bit to me...
Is that really mean?
No. The shocking thing to me is that Netflix has games. Who knew?
It was funny. I feel like it was only yesterday when we were like, oh, yeah, when we were doing all the announcements, I think around the time, when was it? In June, I think. And we kind of talked a little bit about the Netflix games. And you and I have both mentioned to each other, we've got it. It was like, it's just there right now. And then you've actually, interestingly, also mentioned that you don't actually use the app anyway. And that's... from what I believe, is the only way you can access those games.
Yeah. I don't use, like, if I'm watching it, I'm either watching it on my big TV through the app on Xbox, or I'm in my office watching it on my computer. So I did, when I went over to Melbourne for the World of Tanks ANZ PL Grand Final, I loaded a couple of, movies up from Netflix on my phone and watched them on the plane. But that's the first time I've ever used the Netflix app on my phone.
You know, can you show me on your phone? There's a little tab there for games, but I don't have one for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, like...
Because I know I've been using the app recently. So when you said to me, oh, yeah, it's on my phone, I went, yeah. What do you mean it's on your phone? Like, I can't even find it if I wanted to on my phone.
But yeah, like,
oh, here it is. If I scroll down a little bit more, it's not even at the top.
Well, see, mine's just right here on like on the base on along the bottom. You've got like home, then games, and then blah 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 blah. So like, yeah, it's just there for me. But I must admit, I do remember it wasn't on Netflix games, but there was a few years ago. There was I think it might have even been either for season 2 or season 3 of Stranger Things.
Yeah.
They released a game, and I played that a little bit on my phone, but that was just in the App Store. And I know that I did notice that there's another Stranger Things game in there. But I haven't played them because
it's interesting because I meant to say as well, hello Menthonzo. Welcome to the podcast. It's nice to have you. And I was gonna say, like, I actually just checked. My phone like has done, there's no update showing for Netflix either, which I think is really interesting. What phone do you have?
And Samsung A12 or something.
I don't know if that makes a difference because I've got an iPhone. But maybe I might be the only one.
It might do because I know Apple does some weird things sometimes. But
so I'm looking at the games here and like there's your Stranger Things game.
Mm.
I mean like I, it's just because I, oh, before your eyes. Okay, no, there's some games in here. I mean, I saw Before Your Eyes and I'm already like, oh my God, this is a fantastic game. But I feel like the whole navigating through the mobile game section on my iPhone, from what I can see right now, and I'll describe it for anyone. So I've just clicked on a game called Shooting Hoops, which is obviously a very basic, you know,
basketball-y
kind of game. And then it shows me more mobile games. Oh, Hextech Mayhem, a League of Legends. But there's no proper way to kind of, doesn't give me an option to properly look for them.
Yeah, it's weird because like, mine has got an actual games tab type thing. So you can search for games if you know what you're searching for. Or, like, you can scroll through them and look at trailers maybe for some of the games. Maybe your phone's too old. Maybe you need a new phone.
Oh, wow. Okay.
A good excuse to get a new phone. Need phone for gaming.
Try to, like, convert me to Android. No, thank you.
Oh, you can upgrade to an iPhone if you wanted, but yeah, if you want to be, you know, and in the Apple system and
Charlie Goff's been trying to convert me to Android for like
years
now.
Well, you should listen to him. He's a smart man.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I think that's just, I mean, from like a user perspective, I didn't, like I said, I didn't even realize the games were already on my phone, but you've got the tab there, but you don't use your app for Netflix anyway. So no. it's interesting. Who's there? Shags, mine's the same. So you have to scroll down a little bit. You see the games, but you can't actually, there's no proper library kind of like the movies and a TV shows to search for them. I don't know. It's a bit odd. Whereas like on Jim's phone at the bottom where it's got the four little segments, there's a fifth one there for games.
Mm.
So as a user, I'm like, oh, this could be like...
And my phone's shit. Like I bought it because I bought it as a new phone and thought, you know what? Because I buy my phones outright and I normally pay like... I'll go for like around the $800 mark. And this time I went, you know what, let's try like a $300 phone. And I wish I hadn't because it's really not like...
Well, then how come you've got the games tab on Netflix and I don't?
Because it's Android and it's better than Apple.
Oh, okay.
My phone doesn't have the processing power for a lot of that sort of stuff. Like there's a mobile game I play, Simpsons Tapped Out. I'm in hard on that. It's the only like mobile game that I will regularly spend money in just because I want all those Simpsons characters that come along. But like there's all like little houses and they've got like money on them and you tap them and you get the money. And as things have gone up, it's got like this radius now. So you tap and everything in the radius picks up. But this phone is that slow that you tap something and it just stays there for like 5 or 10 seconds and then eventually it ticks and goes duk, 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 duk. Well,
maybe you need to get a new phone then.
I do need to get a new phone and I will be getting an S, I think they're S series. or East, I can't remember. Not the A series anyway, because that is, it is slow and clunky, and I could do with something with a little bit more guts.
I want to ask the chat, just before we get to our next story as well, if anyone has actually used the Netflix games, or would, if you haven't, would you try them? Or what's stopping you from trying them? Because I think that's a really interesting thing. Because, like, I love my fair share of mobile games. I don't play them a lot. Like, most recently, I downloaded Marvel Snap, but no part of my brain thought, oh, maybe I should go into Netflix and look at their games. It for me, like, Netflix is ingrained in my brain as movies and TV. I just forget that there's games there.
Menthonza goes, it's not Steam. That's what's stopping. Look, I like, Menthonzo's PC Master Race to begin with, but, like, I find the people that only want to stick with Steam aggravating. And yes, Menthonzo, I find you aggravating.
Wow.
But, no, like, and I guess it comes from me. I've been, because I was a console gamer. Like, if you wanted to play a game that was exclusive to something else, you had to buy another console. Like, if something's exclusive to another store on PC, you download another launcher.
Say what it
do
how
you freaking
it is.
Do?
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Like, you PC Master Race people.
You're
Jesus.
Really not tiptoeing around now. You're very out of
I haven't done, like, I haven't had a proper rant for a few weeks, people. Oh, so no. Buckle up, all right? I can feel it coming. No.
Shaq says, I tried it when it launched, the Netflix game, but it's standard phone games I don't normally play anyway. Mm. So that's the thing as well. Like, what's to stop someone from finding those exact same games on the App Store and just downloading it directly?
I think there are some exclusives that go through that, and, like, Netflix have developed certain games themselves. But I find mobile gaming hard. Like, if I don't want to sit there and play a full-on like, shooter game or a full-on platformer game on my phone. I just want these little time waster, like, puzzly type games.
Yeah.
Like, or even, like, there's idle games that I quite like.
Yeah.
Where you do a heap of stuff, you put it down, you go away, and while it's away, you accumulate whatever the currency is.
Like Tiny
and,
Towers.
Yeah, yeah. There's
that's
one. There's one.
One of mine.
There's one I play. Adventure Communist. I don't know why. I just. It's grabbed me, and I keep playing it. And then I find other ones every now and then. Excuse the forklift noises as it backs into below our studio here.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, it's an interesting thing. And, like, the numbers being reported on it. So, according to the article on news.com.au that I was reading, there's an average player base of Netflix games of 1.7 million, which isn't a huge lot as a platform, and when you take it as it comes with your Netflix subscription, and there's 221 million Netflix users at the moment, that's less than 1% of Netflix users that are playing these games.
Yeah.
So, I also think it comes down to the type of games that are being played
them. I didn't even know there was a League of Legends game on Netflix gaming, so maybe I will have to try it and just see what it works like. I honestly, like, personally, I haven't given it a proper look. I think I'm quite open-minded when it comes to games in general, so I wouldn't mind having a little browse through, because it wasn't until you mentioned, oh, yeah, like, Netflix games, that's what we're talking about, because not many people are playing it. I was like, oh, yeah, Netflix games, that thing that we talked about, like, ages ago, and then I completely forgot about.
Yeah.
Gamma says, racing games on mobile games are fine by me as time wasters. Well, that's the thing. Like, I feel like, I mean, I know it's different for different people, but I particularly use my mobile, you know, in terms of looking for games as just little time wasters.
Yeah.
Things to play on the train or on the bus or, you know, something to kill time, but not like a fully fledged
game.
Yeah.
Even like the xCloud stuff that and it's a really good product, and with the stuff I've tried in xCloud, it works really well. But I don't want to sit there, one, because it chews a lot of data, so unless you're on Wi-Fi, it's going to be fairly terrible. But It works, but I just don't see a reason to sit here and play this on my little mini screen.
Yeah.
I do not know what COC is, Menthonzo, if I'm being honest.
I just read that as Command and Conquer. But maybe it's not.
It could be. But I also missed. I didn't play Command and Conquer when I was younger either. Like, I didn't play it until the Clash of Clans. No, I don't play Clash of Clans.
Oh, Clash of Clans. See, yeah. I knew I had it wrong, but that was the first thing that came to mind when I saw COC.
It's funny though. Like, speaking of Command and Conquer, like I played StarCraft. I played Total Annihilation. I played Dark Reign. All those RTSs there, but I never got into Command & Conquer. Mm. Arion, you bloody legend, thank you so much for that sub. Incredible.
You subbed for 18 months now, so thank you Woo-hoo! So much.
But yeah, it's mobile gaming, I think, is still not quite there, or at least Australian mobile providers aren't quite there for it.
I think I'm happy to be the guinea pig maybe, and next week I'll let you know what Netflix games I've been playing and see if that comes up as a bloody good game of the week. We'll see. I don't know. Even we were talking about playing games on a train. Like, when I used to go on like a 45-minute train ride, I'd just bring my Switch with me.
See, I tried that for a while because there was a period I was catching the bus to work, and it was one bus, so it wasn't as if I was chopping and changing. Mm. I got on and I rode the bus to the end of where it stopped. Mm. And I brought my Switch with me a couple of times to play it, but I got too distracted. Like and in the end, I swapped the Switch out for a book and just read that on the bus instead.
Yeah.
But because I guess if I miss something in a game, it's live and I could die or whatever. But if I miss something in the book, I'll just go back and read it again.
Yeah. You haven't lost anything.
Yeah. So yeah, it's for me. I know it's big for a lot of people, and especially in Asia, mobile gaming is huge. But for me, it's still not there. Like, I just,
yeah.
And that could also be like, I play, my phone lives on silent. All the games I play on silent. I have no idea what my ringtone is right now, because I just the only time the volume on my phone gets turned up is when I do my morning hurdle. That's it.
Oh, yeah.
Which reminds me, I think I still have to do that today.
too bad we couldn't do it on stream. We just have...
No DMCA here.
Yeah. Well, there we go. So maybe, I don't know, now that I know the Netflix games are on my app, will I try them? Well, I don't know.
Well, I mean, like, it can't be a bad... Like, quite often I'm sitting there and I'm watching Twitch or something, like, and I'll be playing my games. Like, maybe that's where I can try out some of these Netflix mobile
maybe
games.
Maybe we'll have to reconvene and...
Talk about it in a week. Go away. This is your homework, chat. And all you listeners out there, go home, try some Netflix games. Maybe you're listening to us on the phone right now and you're just playing Netflix games at the same time.
Maybe. We don't know. You have to tell us. We want to know more.
That's it. Yep. At us. We want to know. But moving on, like, so there's Spider-Man is coming to PC, I think, either today, tonight, or tomorrow. It's getting released on PC.
Very soon. That's come around, actually, very, very quickly.
It really has. Like, I know our editor-in-chief, Royce Wilson, a.k.a. Zulu, has been playing it and reviewing it, and that review will be coming tonight. So keep an eye on GameOnOdds.com there. But look, I'm loving that more people get to play these games. I really am, because... The Spider-Man and God of War and Final Fantasy VII Remake, those are three games that I've looked at the PlayStation and gone, I really want to play those games, but I don't have a PlayStation.
Yeah.
What I don't like is that this Spider-Man game is what, 3-4 years old?
Yeah, I wouldn't say.
And they're charging $110 for it.
Yeah, I could actually tell you exactly when, because I I got my PS4 Spider-Man suit the same year it came out.
Oh, nice.
So I think it was about 4 years ago. But yeah, it's really interesting, because it's kind of like the discussion that we had about The Last of Us, the part one remaster happening recently. But it's more so... So Arion said it's 109 on Steam.
Yeah, but so was Final Fantasy VII Remake was $80 on Steam for the first few weeks, and then went back up to 115.
Yeah, and I think God of War is still pretty expensive on there.
And even $109 for Spider-Man on Steam is too much.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, it's
hard, because I'm like going to play like devil's advocate here as well. Like, it's... You know, making a game made for console, bringing it to PC, I'm sure is not easy, you know. But then I guess the counter argument to that is, well, I just had a look. The game's been out for, I want to say, about 3 years now, 3 years. Since then, it's already had like a somewhat of a sequel with the Miles Morales game and stuff as well. So this game's been around for ages. You know, what chat, obviously get involved with the conversation, but like how do we feel about the fact that, you know, they're charging over $100 for a game that is of that age?
You know what I reckon? I reckon it would almost be cheaper to go and find a PS4, a secondhand PS4, and buy FF7 Remake, God of War, and Spider-Man. And I reckon that it would be cheaper in the long run than trying to buy those three games.
It's really rough because, like, especially because they were all marketed as PlayStation exclusives first.
Mm.
I think Horizon had the same treatment as well. And that got
PC. Horizon's on PC as well. I don't know how much that was.
Yeah. But, you know, it's, I don't know. It's really interesting. Obviously, it's taken time to come to PC as well. But it's, I don't know. It's,
look, I get Sony's trying to expand and make money. And it's like with their PlayStation Plus. Is it still called PlayStation Plus? Whatever their almost streaming service is.
Well, the new membership tiers. Yeah. I can't keep up. No, I'm going to be really honest with you.
That's it. Like, it's they're trying and they're trying to compete with Xbox, but Xbox have just been doing this for so much longer and are so much better at it. And Sony fanboys come at us because I don't care.
I just think
Xbox,
like,
just have a better product.
I mean, everyone has a point where, like, if you have a decent PC rig and you haven't played them before, then, you know, it's worth it. Because you are, I mean, I would assume if you're playing it on PC with some really good specs and you can really crank that game up and experience it in a really great way, then yeah, maybe it would. But I know, like, the age of the game will probably make people feel more heavily about maybe the price of it. And this is what we talked about with The Last of Us as well. But the remaster, the part one remaster, I think, like, full retail price is about $125 for a game that came out on the PS3. It's, I don't know. I feel like it's a very similar
argument. There's a fine line to walk with a remaster, though, because, like, I don't think these games coming to the PC now has received much of a touch-up. But if you're doing a remake, then that's a ground-up rebuild, fine. But my argument is that The Last of Us Part 1 isn't that old, and why is it already getting a remake?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I know, I'm obviously, you won't touch on it too much, only because we've discussed it in the past on one of our previous episodes, the difference and the line between what's a remake and what's a remaster and things like that. I think part of me as well feels, you know, if, I mean, I I'm trying to play the other side of the argument here. If I've never owned a PS3 or a PS4, say PS5 is my first console, and I picked up Last of Us Part 1, like, I wouldn't, like, know any difference, but you just know that you're getting the best performance on that console. And I know from what I've seen of The Last of Us Part 1 remake, these aren't just little changes they've done. They've actually done a really decent amount to give it a full, proper remaster experience. Yeah. Like Arion said, there's just, like, more to it than I think people realise, and just a, like,
look,
yeah, I don't know.
And I argue this point about how expensive these games are coming out, but Nintendo's games never drop.
No.
You want to buy Breath of the Wild, this game that was launched with the Switch in March 2017, it's still, you know, $80.
But that's the thing, people are still going to pay $80 for it. Like, that's the truth. I don't think I've even seen Mario Odyssey go any cheaper than that either.
Mario's first, like, Nintendo first party titles don't, unless they release like a classics collection, and then they drop. But
then I don't see as many people getting upset about that as they do with the.
But Nintendo live in their own little bubble, and it's like I love Nintendo and I hate Nintendo because they just do whatever the hell they want, and people. Like, I'm the same. I am Fry in Futurama. Shut up and take my money, because that's exactly what will happen as soon as Breath of the Wild 2 announces. I'll have that. I still buy every single amiibo. I found, like, because the Minecraft amiibo I saw pop up in EB Games for pre-order. And
did I miss them?
I only noticed it the other day, so like they might still be there, but I didn't see any big announcement about it.
I feel like they usually do an announcement to say like limited thing is up for order. And I love me some amiibos. I know this has gone so off track now, but I love amiibos. Yeah. Even if I don't use them, they look so nice as figures.
I have almost all of them. Like I've got Alex and Steve from Minecraft on pre-order now, and there's some Monster Hunter ones coming out this week, and the only ones that I've missed so far was there was a gold Mega Man that was released only in the States, and there was an Inkling one I think with Callie and Marie. And I missed that one because I thought, oh, Nintendo's finally gotten their shit together with doing these, and I didn't pre-order it and I didn't get it. So eventually I'll, you know, when I feel like being, you know, price gouged.
It's still up.
Hey, still there we go.
Maybe maybe I'll get Steve and Alex.
That's it. EB Games website, Steve and Alex. Double pack there for the Minecraft characters.
Yeah. I didn't actually think they'd still be up.
Well, it's interesting because those have been announced for a number of years. Like it has been years.
The Minecraft Amiibo.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was like 2020 or something when they got announced. Because there's still like, there's a Sephiroth amiibo that was announced and hasn't come out yet. And we got, and they just, and they just drop. Like you don't know when they're coming, they're just there. And there's a few others as well that were announced.
The only other one I saw next to the Minecraft one on the EB Games page was Min Min.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, from Arms. That one came out a few months ago. I got that one. But yeah, there's three Monster Hunter Rise, I think, amiibos that are coming out this week that I've had on pre-order for a while.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, sorry, that got really off topic. Yeah, I
like amiibo. Like I said, I am an amiibo sucker and will get all of them. Like I've even got, like, you remember the Yarn Yoshi? I've got the giant Yarn Yoshi.
There's a giant...
Yeah, there was a giant green Yarn Yoshi, and then there was like three of the different colors and a Poochie one as well.
Aww.
It's so cool. It's like every time my nieces and nephews come round, they like make a beeline for them on my shelf because they're fluffy. It's the it's the only sort of fluffy thing I have in my house. My house is not suitable for children.
There's too many things to like touch and pick up, I'd imagine.
Don't touch my Lego!
Yeah. Kids will never understand.
That's it. But yeah, like... Oh, I love Amiibo, and I will keep buying it. Like I said, Nintendo, shut up, take my money. It happens, and no matter what price they make their games, in fairness, they do keep their games relatively cheap. Well, cheaper than others. So, like when they come out, they're $70-$80 rather than the $100, $110, $125 now for PlayStation 5 games. But yeah.
Well, speaking of Nintendo, there's some really random Super Nintendo news.
Jim,
did you like that segue?
I did. That was I did like that. It was very good. But I love this news because, like, coming from my era of gaming, like, I just love how stuff like this still gets found. People go through and they trawl through the code of the game and go, "Oh, I wonder what this does." But Super Punch-Out, a game you may be familiar with from the Super Nintendo, has had a cheat code discovered recently in it. So what it is, there's two steps to it. The first one, you have to plug in the second controller and hold down R and Y.
For anyone who doesn't know what Super Punch-Out is?
It's a fighting game.
What's it similar to? Can you describe it? Is it kind of like that? I'm going to speak for the ones who are pretty new to gaming here. Is it kind of like that Mortal Kombat-esque kind of fighter?
No, because the fighting style of it is more first person. So you've got like a little silhouette of yourself there, and the player, the enemy comes at you. So it's only single player as well. Like Dormat says, it's like Punch Out on the NES. It's basically you're facing that way, and you got to dodge and punch and whatnot.
I can envision it a little bit now.
So it's this one, got to plug in the second controller to start with, and I'm pretty sure this was a single-player game, so who thinks to plug in a second controller.
Yeah.
And then holding down R and Y on the second controller, then press A or start on the first controller, and it brings up like a level select, so you can go straight to whatever enemy you want to fight, because instead of having to go through them in a straight line, you can just go, cool, I need to practice on this guy, so I'm going to go straight to or I'm going to go straight to the boss.
That's really cool. I love, like, because how old is this game, if don't mind me asking? I know you said this is your era of gaming, so I don't want to, like, call you out and be like, yeah, the game is this old.
Well, I know that the Nintendo 64 came out in 96 or 97, okay. I'm pretty sure. So sometime before then. Okay. I want to say, like, probably like 92, 93, okay, something sure. like that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I love that. I think that's really cool. After, like, all those years, they've found this player to, like...
I always find it really interesting as well, like, the history of well, we call them cheats, but... They're game dev debug stuff. So it's like a dev exit in a game. So they were put in so that the play testers could just go, rather than, especially in a case like Punch-Out where there's no save points in the game, you just got to start at the beginning and go through to the end. So rather than having to do that and to get to a certain point in the game, you can, like, this sort of a menu would have been in the code so that the debuggers could go, all right, we need to get all the bugs out of this fight.
Mm-hmm.
So, I find it all very, very cool, like that. Being able to do that, like, because I played Super Star Wars a lot as a kid, and that was another one of those games where you start at the beginning and there's no save points in there, so you've got to finish it all in one sitting.
Oh my
god! Or if you're like me, you got to a certain point, you hit pause, and you went to bed, and then came up and woke up the next day and started playing again.
That sounds like the smarter way to play it.
Well, but there was also debug menus in that, and that one also you had to plug in the second controller to activate some of these menus, and so you could get into a debug code where you could change the character you played as, you could change what weapon you had, you could change the background music that played, and all sorts of stuff like that.
That's really cool.
Yeah, well, and
I guess I want to ask you, and then also ask chat as well, what is, like, your favorite game you've used a quote, you know, cheat?
Yeah, well, I'm going to go back to some RTS games. So this was StarCraft Brood Wars. So this was the expansion to the original StarCraft. And I got to a point where I got sick of trying. So I would put on the invincibility cheat code. Power Overwhelming, I still remember that one. And I would play through the levels. And I remember getting to a certain point and there was a in-game cutscene where an enemy had shown up and was killing one of the friendly units. And I didn't realise at the time. Well, I realised after a while, because this just went on and on and this guy just would not die. And I said, what the hell's going on? And go, I've got God mode cheat mode on. So I, like, turned it off and then he died and it was all good. But he was a friendly unit and it just would not die.
Everyone says Skyrim. Now, what particular cheat are we talking about? I guess for me, my first one I ever remember and first comes to mind for me has to be The Sims. And I feel like that's a very, like, obvious kind of one. I mean, for me, it's got an obvious one anyway, because once I found out, and I remember because I had the original like, The Sims games, all kind of piled up because each expansion and stuff, like, the, you know, PC games, the boxes were, like,
that's
that
right.
thick.
Yeah.
I had all of them, and I was kind of reminiscing about this the other day about playing the original Sims games. And once I found out that the Motherload cheat gave me so much money, my mind was just blown. And just, like, knowing that, like, the limit, to quote Mean Girls, the limit does not exist.
Like, that's exactly right.
It just keeps going. And I was like, I could do absolutely anything in The Sims now, and nothing's going to stop me. So that was, I mean, that's my favorite cheat code.
That's it. I did notice, I was wondering how long this would take to come out. Shag in chat has said the classic Konami code, up, up, down, right, right, B, A. This was like one, I can't remember what game it was in, but this was like one of the first most common cheat codes that we use, and Konami used them in a lot of different games.
Mm-hmm. The Doormat. Doormat Live says, Jak and Daxter series, there's a cheat menu and a debug menu present in all three platformer games that got found a few years back, which can get quite fun messing with. Mm. And what do you mean can get quite fun messing with? Please tell us what you got up to.
I really want to know. Because like that, like I'm quite a fan of the Jak and Daxter games. I really like them, and they're good fun to play. Even if like after the first game, it took a left turn at Albuquerque and went, "We're doing this now," and then time travel shenanigans, and it just got. But yeah, like other games, CAC complete all quests. That's a good one.
I've never heard of like CAQ for complete all quests. It's the everyone says it's the greatest and laziest console command. Shags also says Contra, Castlevania, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Doormat also says with Jak and Daxter, spawn in any entities, give yourself any items, mess with the time of day, etc. Can skip to the end of the game.
You know, I keep thinking about the original Doom codes. Like I remember them, like IDKFA, infinite ammo, gives you all the ammo. Or how about IDSPISPOPD?
Like it was like, still remember that?
Because I may have used it a lot, but that was like the walk through walls in the original Doom, and then like Doom 2, and they changed it to ID clip, so you could clip through the walls. But like I quite like the, because it took a lot of effort to memorize that code, like because it yeah, and really you had to because it was just so bloody freaking long. Yeah. I can't even remember what it stood for. Like there was some story behind why that one was there. Mm. How about an infamous cheat code in Tomb Raider? So there was always that rumor in the first Tomb Raider that there was a code to see Lara Croft naked. There wasn't, just quietly. But in the second or third game, they the devs sort of leaked this code, and it was this stupid amount of things that you had to do to. And it was supposed to get Lara Croft naked. And you go through all this stuff. You do all this stuff. And the last key entry on it, and she explodes.
Oh. Yeah.
I just thought that was really cool because it's just like, nah, you're not seeing that, you pervert. Go away.
What else have we got here? Charlie Goff says, Age of Empires for me. Mm. Actually, this is another good one that I thought of, and I had to search up because I couldn't remember it. And it's not really like a cheat; it's more of like a name tag Easter egg in Minecraft. If you call one of the mobs like a cow dinner bone, they just appear upside down. It's quite funny. I think it's really good. If you call a rainbow sheep Jeb _, it basically turns their like pet into like a multicolored like rainbow kind of color, which is really cool. That one's actually, I'm just reading in this article here, is named after one of the lead game designers of Minecraft. So I like those little things in there too, because it's just something fun that if you didn't know, you would never know to do it. But if you just call like a pet or an animal dinner bone with a name tag in Minecraft, they just turn upside down. And I think that's hilarious.
There was one I always remember because it was in StarCraft. And there was a code called There Is No Cow Level. And the I think it insta-completed the level, but the history of that was in Diablo, another Blizzard game, apparently there was supposed to be some secret cow level, or there was rumors of a cow level, and it just sort of became a meme in that community of There Is No Cow Level, so it became a cheat in StarCraft as well.
Yeah. Arion says, myself and the lads got together recently, been brainstorming about what atrocious shit we were going to mod into Starfield, and it dawned on me, Skyrim. We're going to mod an entire planet into Skyrim. Oh, good luck.
Yeah.
Charlie Goff also said, used to love spawning rocket cars and babies on tricycles with machine guns. What's this? Age of Empires?
I'm going to say Age of Empires, because just quietly on that, once again, big Star Wars gamer here. There was a Star Wars RTS game called Galactic Battlegrounds, I want to say. It was Galactic something anyway. But it was built in the Age of Empires engine. Mm. And there was a cheat in there called Simon the Killer Ewok. And it would spawn in this little Ewok who had almost infinite health and could almost one-shot any unit in the game. And so you would just like, you would spawn him in anytime you just wanted to like melt the enemy. And it was just, yeah, just stupid fun.
Yeah. So everyone's pretty set on the fact that they will mod an entire planet into Skyrim. Shag says the Priscilla debug menu in SimCity.
I'm not familiar with that one, but I know a lot of those sort of resource-based games have those cheat codes because I always loved SimCity on the Super Nintendo, and there was a cheat to get like $1 million in the game after the first year. And so, you know, I would always do that so then I could just build what I want because I didn't have the patience to like start at the bottom
and have to and build up.
Slowly build up. Yeah.
And that's like, why I love the Sims ones so much is because like you would want to decorate your whole house and whatever the hell you wanted, but you were like real life limited by money. Mm. So like you just put in the cheat code, it gives you, you know, so much money the amount of times you type it in.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, this just makes things so much easier. Wish it could happen in real life. But
oh, me too.
There is no cheat code for money.
Well, there is, but it's called, you know, fraud. It's called making your own printing press, and the government frowns on that. I believe I'm on a list somewhere now. But I think that's about it for this week.
Yeah, lots of different stories we had tonight. And I'm also thank you to everyone in the chat for getting into discussions with us. It's always fun kind of seeing what you guys think and, you know, about, you know, what we're up to. And it's great to have you share some of your night with us as well, as always. Mm.
I love talking about cheat codes because, like, they all come out. It's just I could talk about that for forever.
Well, I guess we will be back, of course, next week.
We will.
I think everyone stays healthy and well, we'll be back next week.
We'll still be missing a Pete for at least next week, I think. But yeah, we will be back. We will be here with another show, another weekly show, because we wouldn't miss it. I love our Wednesday nights.
Again, I know we said this at the beginning, but there's just nothing that beats being in person in the studio. It's really lovely. Of course, if you want to stay up to date with any of our articles that we have coming up by some of our really talented writers, make sure you check on gameonoz.com. And then, Jim, let us know where we can find more episodes of the podcast if you want to catch up.
Yeah, so there's actually a podcast section on our website as well at gameonoz.com. So beautiful. If you want to have a look on there, they're there. Or just wherever you get good podcasts like Apple Music, Spotify, Google Music, we should be everywhere and anywhere. So
if you miss us between now and next week, you can always catch up on some of our previous podcast episodes. That's there it. Too.
There's a lot of them. There's like we're over 250 for the weekly show episodes now.
Oh my
Nuts and
God.
Bolts hit. Like Natty and I recorded our 53rd episode today.
Wow, and that's really cool.
Streamaholics is up in its 30s now as well. So we're we're doing really good.
We're hitting the big numbers for all our episodes now, which is exciting. So thank you to everyone for being a part of it.
Mm. And thanks for joining us tonight again, Stormy. It's been awesome. We will see you all next week.